Yes, it's Talking Travel on 2NURFM 103.7, and we've got Sally Lucas here. We've got some cold climates today, Sally.
Yes, look, why not? We're in the middle of winter, aren't we? So, I mean, I'm sticking with cold for today. Oh, gosh. Anyway, I'm talking about the Hurtigruten line again, but this time I'm going to sort of talk you through a bit more detail of what to expect on these voyages. And this one is a round trip from Oslo, which is great for us as we get direct flights into Oslo, whereas the other trips that leave from Bergen, you've always got to then get a connection from Oslo or, you know, another form of transport. So I thought we'll talk about this voyage today.
Okay. And we're going to go to anywhere else?
We're just mainly staying up that part of the world, talk about the cold climates, Greenland, Antarctic, you know, both poles really. So, yeah, we're sticking with the cold.
Okay. Sally, we are going cold.
We are going cold today, exactly. So we're embarking on a cruise from Oslo in Norway. And as I mentioned earlier, most of the cruises do leave from Bergen, but they've introduced this one from Oslo, which is great, which just saves you that bit of extra time. And also you get a little bit more time at sea enjoying the wonderful coastline as well. So, yes, so starting in Oslo, now these sailings are for this year and next year, by the way. They've got a total of about 29 departures. It's a 15-day itinerary with 13 stops. So you really are seeing a lot of Norway in depth. So, yeah, really, really thrive on this voyage, I think. I've only done the one-way trip, and that was beautiful enough. I mean, I'd be happy to do it again. But this is a round trip, so it's Oslo back to Oslo. So you start from there, and you'll have time there to have a day there before you head off on your voyage. Then you'll have a day at sea where you're just going to enjoy getting to know the ship, the three restaurants and their bar, getting to know your fellow passengers, settle in, which is a nice way of easing your way into it as well. Go to the observation deck. You know, it's really, they're beautiful vessels. They're not luxury vessels, by the way, but they're just got everything you need. And you've always got lecturers on board telling you what's happening the next day, what to expect, the level of fitness you may require, etc., etc. So you're really getting good information and great food.
So is it for all ages?
Yep, it's suitable for all ages. I mean, generally you find, when we did it anyway, it generally is an older age market, but certainly it's open to all ages, definitely. So anyway, then you start waking up in some beautiful parts where you've got these incredible fjords. Like Norway is just fjord after fjord after fjord, but you never get sick of them. And they're also stunningly beautiful. So this is the first fjord, is Lysefjord, which is a 26-mile-long fjord. And it's really home to one of Norway's most famous sites, and I'm sure our listeners have seen photos of this, which is that they call it the Pulpit Rock, which towers 604 metres above the fjord. And you often see people with their photos taken.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, right on the edge of this rock. I could not do that.
No.
Could not do that in a million years, I can tell you that right now. I'm not that afraid of heights, but I still couldn't do that.
Yeah, I couldn't do it either, I don't think.
Now, Tromsø, which is a beautiful city as well, you're going to there, which is another urban city. It's only 217 miles rather north of the Arctic Circle, which is really interesting and great. And that's further on in the voyage towards the end of your first week you get to there. But before that, you're going to travel into other fjord areas, Stavanger, which is just the most beautiful part of the world. Some lovely architectural relics of old Stavanger. And it's got Northern Europe's best preserved collection of wooden houses and Norway's oldest cathedral dating from the 12th century. The next day, day four, you're heading off to Alsund, which is a town that spreads out across a string of islands. And most of the buildings here have bright colours up to rounded spires, which are really unusual, which is inspired by the Art Nouveau style, which is popular in the early 1900s. So you can get incredible photos of the archipelago from the nearby Mount Axla viewpoint, and you can visit a sea park, which is Norway's first marine science centre, and it's one of Northern Europe's largest saltwater aquariums, which provides homes to seals, otters, crabs, other forms of marine life. And you can even see the Humboldt penguins there, which is a species otherwise absent north of the equator. You actually see them on an island that's got a whole colony of Humboldt penguins off Peru.
What's the difference between a Humboldt penguin and a normal?
Well, they do look different. Like, it's very hard for me to explain. You know, you need a photo. But if our listeners have got a Google happening there, have a look at them. They're really quite a different looking penguin to what you would expect.
Well, they're still black and white.
Yeah, but they're still black and white, and they still don't fly. After that, you're going on to a little fishing port of Rørvik, which is in the Viken Archipelago, but it's got a huge history there as well and a lovely collection of museums. And you can do an optional excursion there to go. They say it's a time travel through the last 10,000 years and get a glimpse of the future, thanks to the Ice Age carved landscape. Lots of lovely Norwegian salmon production happens there as well. But yes, you're sailing up here. This Viken Archipelago is made up of 6,000 islands, islets and reefs. And at different times of the year, the gardens there bloom with plum and apple blossoms in the spring, if you get there in the springtime.
Beautiful.
Which is beautiful. And even at 65 degrees north, they still grow because they've got this maritime climate, so which is really wonderful. Then you're sailing through the night and then you're into the Arctic Circle, which is wonderful. And you go to Lofoten and Solvær and it's just, again, another archipelago of incredible islands. You get options here too if you want a kayak, or you can do optional bus tours. I mean, each port you go to, you've got lots of options of whether you're active or not active. You know, there's plenty on offer for you to see and do. And depending on the time of year, obviously, you know, if it's in the winter months, you might go dog sledding, or, you know, so it'll all vary on the time of year that you're there. From there, then you are heading up to, as we said, to Tromsø, which is a really interesting city. I really enjoyed Tromsø. It's we had to actually extend our stay there because we had a sort of a strong storm was coming, so they don't sail. They want to keep you as comfortable as possible, so we had to delay our sailing. But anyway, that was all good. But you could tick that off your bucket list there, because it really is an option there, certainly if you're dog sledding, because you're in the Arctic now. And from there you go to Honningsvåg, which is really getting into the far north, and again, lots of lovely optional extensions there you can do. Go to the North Cape, which looks out over the Barents Sea, which is an optional excursion there as well. And this is one of the most northern points of mainland Europe. And if you're getting there in winter, you might even choose to get there by snowmobile. So that would be something special. Yeah, so look, there's just so much to see and do, and I'm only up to day 8, so I think we might continue the next segment and continue for the rest of this voyage, because it is in, I'm giving it in quite detail, but I want to try and get you to paint a picture of just how beautiful Norway is and how much you're going to be able to see and do on this 15-day voyage. Like a lot of other voyages of 15 days and crossing a lot of ocean, or you're not seeing anywhere near the amount of ports that you're going to see on this particular voyage around Norway.
Okay, so more to come. And we're talking Norway, Sal.
We certainly are. Halfway through the voyage and off we go. Now we're up to 70 degrees north, which is far above the Arctic Circle, to a port called Alta. And it's known for particularly good Northern Lights visibility, so have your camera on hand.
Oh, I'd love to see the Northern Lights.
And if they happen like in the middle of the night, what they do, they ring a little bell, like an alarm thing goes off. So you go to bed in your tracky dackies or whatever, something warm, so that you can be on the ready, jump out, get out on deck and get your photos.
Stumble out of bed.
Yeah, you just got to be aware that that's going to happen on these voyages. If you really want to see, you've got to be prepared to go out there, have your camera on the ready. And the camera does take a better photo, by the way, than a phone of the Northern Lights. It's just one of those physical phenomena, but you are better to get it. If you want a better shot, you're better to use a camera just to pop that in there for your memory bank. Now, here you see prehistoric rock art as well in this area, and they have what they call the Northern Lights Cathedral, which is an exhibition showing how Alta became the epicentre for the groundbreaking research of the Aurora Borealis between the 19th and 20th centuries. And, of course, back into, if you're there in winter, we've talked again about the dog sledding, if you want to do it in any of those sort of snow-type experiences. You're going to see this really quite wonderful place, and they have on the banks of the River Alta, they have 250 tons of ice, which is the world's northernmost ice hotel, which is decorated with ice sculptures and wall carvings, and just quite fascinating. Now we go on to the port of Narvik, is the next one. It's mainly known for its World War II heritage, because Norway was very much involved in the war, which I don't think we knew much about, and it was bombed extremely badly, even worse than Dresden in Germany, and we hear about that, but we don't hear what happened to Norway. And because it's so close to Russia, it was a real pivotal point. So there's a lot of World War II history in northern Norway, I can assure you. I was fascinated. I didn't realise. So it is, if you're interested in that, you're going to get quite, you know, a lot of information. So it sits on a peninsula where three beautiful fjords meet. How lovely is that? And it was originally developed as a year-round ice-free port for nearby iron ore mines. But as I said, nowadays it's mainly just known for its World War II heritage, and of course it's skiing, dog sledding, hiking in the warmer months, etc. Day 11, you're heading along the Norwegian coast and having a bit of a day at sea there before you get onto your next port. So this is a port, and I'm sure I'm not pronouncing it correctly, Andalsnes. It's a picturesque coastal town along Isfjord, which is the end of another fjord. So there we go with our fjords again. And you've got lovely mountains that tower over the town there. And it's the reason it became one of Norway's go-to destination for hikers, climbers, etc. It's got what they call a troll wall, which is a 1,000-metre vertical cliff, which attracts adrenaline seekers from all over the world. No, thank you. Again, no, not for me, but I know that's for someone. That's okay. But you can do a relaxing ride if you want to on a gondola instead, which takes you to the top of this beautiful mountain, 708 metres above sea level. And then you get a wonderful 360-degree view of the whole area, which is just spectacular. So the next day, off we go. Day 13, you end up in Bergen. Now, Bergen is one of Norway's most picturesque cities. It's a beautiful little city, and it's again famous for the Bryggen district with all its colourful wooden wharfs and buildings and everything there. And you've got the Munch Museum there too, Edvard Munch, you know, the Scream.
Yes, I do know the Scream.
Yes, but he painted so much other stuff again that I had no idea. Beautiful pastels, some watercolours, portraits. You know, we know him for the Scream, but his range of artwork, he went through all sorts of different periods in his life where he painted just about every genre you can imagine.
Probably ones that are better to look at.
Oh, yes, definitely, definitely. And, of course, one of the best attractions here is that beautiful funicular which takes you up to the top of Mount Floyen. And we did that in the daytime, but you go back at night and there you see Bergen all laid out with all the lights and, oh, it's quite spectacular. Day 14, we're nearly at the end, and then you have your last afternoon of your voyage in Kristiansand, which is Norway's fifth largest city. It's sitting right on the southern tip of the country as well. And that is a lovely city as well. They've got also a military past there in Kristiansand, originally built as a German fort in World War II. It features the world's second largest cannon ever to be mounted on land. Amazing.
Fantastic.
And then on day 15, you're back in Oslo at the end of your voyage. So you've done this wonderful north to south journey, doing different ports up and back, just seeing that whole, you know, very northern European continent. So it is a very spectacular voyage. If you haven't done it, I encourage you to do so. It is absolutely stunningly beautiful.
Well, it sounds like a great trip. Talking hot deals, Sal.
Hot deals, got a few, not many today, but just a few. Just thought I'd mention two. Now, there is another shipping company doing Greenland, Uncover the Spirit of Greenland, which is new, completely new itineraries, very rare, and they're taking into areas with a specially purpose-built vessel that takes you, nudges you right into areas that no ships have been to before. And you're going to meet the Inuit people of Greenland at a time of year when the vessel can just reach these remote homelands, which is very restrictive, as you can imagine. So it's really an odyssey that in the world's only luxury icebreaker to reach the geographic North Pole. And this is in 2026, and that's with the French company Ponant, are doing this on a specially bought, as I said, design vessel called Le Commandant Charcot. So if you're interested in Greenland, that's something else that you can experience, talking cold. And as we did today, talking about the Hurtigruten, just to let you know, I just will mention again, there are 29 departures from this year into next, 7 left for this year, 16 for 2026, and so far 6 programmed for 2027. So they've got an offer at the moment with up to 15% off, subject to availability, and so that's really worthwhile taking advantage of. And it's very well priced, under $5,000 for a 15-day voyage with all your meals and everything. I mean,
that's great.
That's really good value for money, so keep that in mind. Something really special is happening going down to the Antarctic, Aurora Expeditions. The original founder, which is Greg Mortimer, who's climbed all the peaks in the world, and his wife Margaret, whom we met again recently when we went down to a dinner for the Australian Himalayan Foundation in Sydney. They're such lovely people, and he's such an explorer and done so much. So he's going to be a special guest on board a sailing on the 11th of December this year called Mawson's Antarctica. So you're retracing Sir Douglas Mawson, legendary Antarctic expedition on a voyage to East Antarctica and Cape Denison, crossing the Antarctic Circle, and of course, what do you have? Icebergs, wonderful pack ice, emperor penguins, orcas, snow petrels. This is really their special guests on that particular save. You can save up to 15% and get an air credit as well on that. And also they've got sailings going into the Arctic and beyond also, if you're still interested in that Arctic area. So if you book early for 2027, they've got some good savings there on 15 polar voyages, again, on two purpose-built expedition ships. So there's an Arctic Women's Exhibition as well, doing Svalbard, as well as parts of Greenland as well. So you've got lots of lovely vessels out there now that have been purpose-built to really get you into these parts of the world that we would never have hoped once upon a time that we would ever get to. So if you're really interested in pushing yourself to the far reaches of our planet in both directions, you've got lots of wonderful options out there.
Great options. I'd say to my husband, let's go, but unfortunately he doesn't like the cold. So maybe I'll just go on my own.
Well, I don't either. And everyone, when we went to Antarctica, said, you went to Antarctica, you hate the cold. I said, yeah, but you dress appropriately.
That's right.
The ship's warm when
and
you get on board.
And it's worth it to see
and
man, such beautiful places. Yeah.
It is. It's worth every cent.
It is. Well, thank you very much, Sal. We'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.